One way to look at American culture is to look at the balls it uses. From golf balls to basketballs, from footballs to eyeballs, the culture seems to revolve around balls. A bowling ball is a sphere punctuated by three holes employed in the game of bowling. Inserting a thumb and two fingers into the holes, a bowler rolls the ball down a wooden course called an alley in an attempt to knock down a triangular arrangement of 10 wooden pins. Although bowling is more popular in America than anywhere else in the world, it dates back before Christ. In the 3rd and 4th centuries AD, bowling was a religious ceremony. Participants tried to hit the pin, or kegel, in order to be judged free from sin. Bowling came to America with Dutch immigrants in the 17th century and remained an outdoor game until the mid-19th century. In the late 20th century, bowling has lost its associations with grace and sinfulness, although for some people, the bowling ritual is still practiced with religious regularity. Like other American games, and like games in general, bowling provokes great passion in the test of a useless skill. Although many sports are derived from tests of practical human skills, there are not many occasions in American life where the ability, say, to knock down wooden pins at a distance of 60 feet is of much utility. Indeed, Dr. America thinks that the sheer uselessness of games and sports is part of their attraction for Americans, a break from the relentless utilitarianism of the culture. In recent years, bowling has become the linchpin of a cultural conversation about civic values. In a seminal article called Bowling Alone, America's Declining Social Capital, Harvard political scientist Robert Putnam argues that trends in bowling are connected to broader trends in American civic life. Putnam's title comes from the fact that while more Americans are bowling these days, fewer Americans are part of bowling leagues. And bowling leagues, he says, are a sign of social health, because bowling is not just a game of 10 pins, but an occasion for conversation. While one person launches a ball down the alley, the other members of a bowling team have time to talk. And we don't just talk about bowling. We talk about families and kids, schools and sports, politics and religion. Because of the regularity of these conversations, Putnam says, bowling leagues promote the conversation and trust necessary to our participation in politics, broadly defined. The people we bowl with or play bridge or baseball with are the people we can also play politics with. Such recreational occasions are, Putnam says, a key source of social capital, the interpersonal infrastructure necessary for civic involvement. Putnam says this, "By almost every measure, Americans' direct engagement in politics and government has fallen steadily over the last generation." He contends that we are psychologically distant from our political organizations. There are also declines in religious participation, labor unions, PTAs, civic and fraternal organizations, Boy Scouts, Red Cross, and the list goes on. Putnam offers a few guesses about why these trends are occurring. First, we now have more women in the labor force, which takes them away from the coffee clutches and voluntary activities where they have provided the Elmer's glue of social capital for more than a century. Second, American mobility still undercuts the root systems of neighborliness and civic association. Third, demographic changes, especially in the family, make a great difference, since married, middle-class Americans are usually more engaged than others. And as the gulf between rich and poor increases, squeezing out the middle class of community volunteers, we may also find our social capital falling into that gaping gulf. And as the number of never-married Americans increases, reducing the conversations at Little League and band concerts, civic engagement may well decline. Fourth, the increasing scale of commercial institutions replaces the small stores of neighborhoods with megastores or power centers or malls. Commerce, Putnam suggests, used to be the connective tissue of neighborhoods and communities, but now it's just a tissue of disconnections. Except perhaps for the relatively new Saturn car company, people don't seem to feel much loyalty to their economic institutions, or vice versa. Finally, Putnam suggests that transformations in leisure, especially the privatization of entertainment, undercut social capital. When people cocoon with TVs and VCRs and CDs instead of going to theaters, stadiums, and concert halls, they miss the collateral conversations that take place in the seats or at intermissions. Americans may imagine that they become friends as they watch Friends, but Putnam suggests that television is a solitary activity, even when watched in groups. And the proliferation of TVs in the American domestic landscape means that increasingly individuals can watch their own shows. Bowling, of course, even bowling in leagues, is not the sole solution to the crisis of community and civic engagement. As Stephanie Kuntz notes in her brilliant new book, The Way We Really Are, the changes in our lives are much more rooted than that. But the bowling ball and the bowling culture that accompanies it remind us that we make our communities not just in community development programs, but in the everyday occurrences of our own lives. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, putting a little English on the ball of American culture.